Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie playing the cheap trick. Mommy's all right. Daddy's all right. Stephen Hargis is all right. And it is always a pleasure to welcome in the sports editor of the Chattanooga Times Free Press. And he dominates the high school scene like nobody I know anywhere. And, of course, this week on the high school front, up the road in Murfreesboro, the Spring Fling. Stephen, of course, will be there. Patrick McCoon, Gene Henley, taking a break from Knoxville. He'll be there, too. So the Times Free Press will absolutely pour the coverage in this week into the Spring Fling. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
Hey, guys, you know it's a big deal. If Gene's going to be there, you know it's got to be a big deal.
Absolutely.
Hey, that or they've got a whole bunch of really good cookies.
Well, that you know that, Jay. He will do some damage to some Outback and some cookies this week, I promise you.
All right, is it easier to name the Chattanooga area softball teams that are not going?
Probably so. I mean, it's kind of like a recurring theme every year. I just went back and looked because I was working on a story for tomorrow. I think we had 9 teams that made it last year, so this year it's only 7. But yeah, every year, David, it's just crazy. And you know, it's interesting because before the Spring Fling, before there was such a thing as the Spring Fling 26 years ago, Chattanooga hosted the softball state tournaments, Class A, AA, and AAA. And that is kind of what led to when Ronnie Carter, who was the executive director of the People's Play, when he would come into town and see the fan support and the media support from the two newspapers, he thought, man, this would be really cool if we could do this for baseball and track and tennis and soccer and all the other spring sports. So got together with Merrill Eckstein, and you know, they came up with the idea of you know, formulating this Olympic-style Spring Fling thing. So softball is really kind of the origin of the Spring Fling itself, and it's because of how good Chattanooga's been for so many years.
All right, of course, Baylor and GPS are like a combined 105 this year or whatever, and so they seem to be on a collision course. Who are some other schools from our area that you think can make deep, deep runs?
I think if we're talking softball, I think Whitwell and Sail Creek in Class A could be on kind of a collision course to play each other. Those are two really good teams. Of course, Sail Creek was the state runner-up last year, has everybody back except one player. Whitwell has the majority of their team back from a team that finished third last year at the state tournament. So those two teams are really good. Marion County's got a sophomore pitcher, Sarah Muir, who's already committed to Tennessee. She could really lead them, and they've got some girls that can just, you know, absolutely hit up and down the lineup. So Marion could make a run. They split with Sequatchie this year, so either Marion or Sequatchie in AA. And then I think Baylor and GPS, they have run-ruled everybody that they've played within Division II this year. So the only news that comes out of that is if it's not one of those two teams, if they're not playing each other for the title, that's the only real news that comes out of Division II.
You think about a few years ago with Lakeisha Jackson at Howard and just how entertaining she was. I mean, she was can't-miss viewing, kind of like that Matthew Bowling out in Texas that's committed to Georgia. Is there an athlete, whether it's from the Chattanooga area or somewhere else around the state, that you're really looking forward to seeing this week?
Well, if the schedule allows and Baylor softball, you know, does what they're supposed to do, and they're off on Wednesday, we're Michaela Packer, the little sophomore sprinter, and you know, she's already committed to Auburn in softball, but she's also the defending
champion
in the 100. She's also the defending champion in the 100 and 200, and you know, she could. She's qualified to run in both those again. I mean, she could be there to kind of really do something special, you know, help Baylor win another state championship potentially, and then also repeat as the 1 and 200-meter champion in those sprint events. So, I mean, Michaela Packer is somebody to really watch. There's a kid at Arts and Sciences, Brevin Sims, who is really close to state records in the 110 and 300-meter hurdles. Cole Bullock, the distance runner from Red Bank, signed with Ole Miss for cross country, but he's the 1600 and 3200. He could really do something in those as far as, you know, challenging not just for state championships, but also for state records. And then a name that, you know, we know just from high school football, Jeremiah Batiste, who's Mr. Football finalist at Tyner. He's got the state's fastest 100 and 200 meter runs this year. He qualified second, but he had a couple of runs earlier this year where he's the fastest kid potentially in the state. So he could be a lot of fun to watch too.
All right, Stephen, we're probably about 5 years away from this, the way gambling's advancing in every state. But if I had to ask you your two or three teams that you feel most confident about as far as winning a state championship, who would you bet on?
Baylor GPS softball and Baylor baseball. I mean, Baylor baseball's got, what, 8 kids that have already either signed or committed Division I somewhere. I've never seen anything like it. I'd love for Jay, you know, as much as he knows with baseball, I'd love for him to see. If you haven't seen Baylor, Jay, I'd love for you to get a chance to see these guys and just let me know what you think of them, because I've never seen anything like it myself around here. I mean, it's kind of I know you've seen a lot of the East Cobb Yankees and stuff like that. I mean, it's basically Baylor baseball right now is an all-star team that they've put together. You know, they've got guys, Colin Ahern's a sophomore who's already committed to Tennessee, and he's a Mr. Baseball finalist. You know, it's going to be big news if Baylor doesn't get there and repeat as state champions again. And I know people get tired of hearing, you know, about the private schools this time of year, but, I mean, those are the teams that are going to dominate, for the most part, pretty much every individual and team sport we've got.
You're listening to Stephen Hargis, Times Free Press sports editor, previewing this week's spring fling up the road in Murfreesboro. You're listening to Stephen here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
I was about to heckle you about your pro Baylor love, but I didn't want to put that out there. And I will say for certain, no, I mean you're in a lose-lose proposition right here, because Baylor and GPS and McCauley are sending everybody over there in whatever sport is going on in the spring because they're great at it. And you cover winners, and winners generate headlines. So anybody else who thinks the TFP, I mean, yeah, we all know David went to Baylor. When I was doing it, I went to public school in Atlanta. You went to South Pitt. Ron Bush went to Tyner. I mean, there ain't nobody banging a private school drum. So I'm saying that for you, my good man. But I will.
Yeah, and Gene went to Cleveland, and Patrick Raccoon went to Red Bank. So we're mostly public school guys. Everybody's public school that's going to be covering it. But I mean, you cover who wins, just like you said.
And Lindsey Young went to Ringgold Middle. That's how he got, right?
Yeah, and he went to, I think he graduated from LFO.
Yeah, there you go. So I want to ask you about this though: the two top teams in their soccer divisions, Signal Mountain and Arts and Sciences, could play for a fourth time in a state championship game. Who do you think has the advantage in that one, even though Signal's won 3 in a row?
I mean, you know, you always hear coaches talk about it's hard to beat a team 3 or 4 times a year, but, I mean, there's also something to be said. If you've beaten somebody that many times this year, you've got a little bit of a mental hurdle that they're going to have to climb. I would go with Signal. And I tell you something really cool that Patrick McCoon is working on a story there for those two teams. The two coaches there both teach at Signal Mountain. I think they might have been in each other's weddings. They're like best friends, you know, drawing up soccer plays in the halls at Signal Mountain there.
That's a next level of dorkiness right there, if you're drawing up soccer plays in the hall.
I mean, they're really good friends, and now they're going to wind up probably playing each other for a state championship potentially. So that's kind of a neat story.
We don't do spoilers until tomorrow. I'm just going to give you an A to F grade. I got to ask you about Game of Thrones. I meant to ask you in the office today. A to F, what you got?
You mean just the finale or the
yes,
whole season?
Just the finale.
Just the finale. Probably a C. I mean, I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It wasn't as bad an ending as say, Dexter, but it certainly wasn't as good an ending as Breaking Bad. So
it wasn't as bad an ending as my second divorce, but it wasn't as good an ending. I mean...
It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. It was disappointing just because of how good it's been for the first 7 seasons, probably.
Fair enough, my good man.
You're listening to Stephen Hargis, Times Free Press sports editor, previewing this week's spring fling up the road in Murfreesboro. Stephen, of course, this was our baby here in Chattanooga for a number of years. You think about Amy Robertson, the Baylor softball pitcher, and just what a unbelievable performance she had. I witnessed that tennis exchange where a Knox Bearden player got so mad during a doubles championship in AAA that he shouted Jesus Christ, and the referee went over there and suspended it. I mean, you know, canceled the match right then, and they had to forfeit, and they used USTA rules saying you can yell Jesus and you can yell Christ, but you can't yell Jesus Christ. There were so many memories those first few years. I guess my question for you, does Murfreesboro pretty much have this thing on cruise control right now?
They should. I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, just with the facilities that they have and the fact that it's, you know, the midpoint of the state, so you've got teams coming from, you know, Memphis or Bristol. Tennessee is such a long state that it's better for travel. Murfreesboro has actually kind of grown as a city. It's big enough now. There's plenty of things, you know, hotels and eateries and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm for Chattanooga, obviously, but I just don't see any reason to move any of that. You know, I think they should move the football championships back to Murfreesboro and get them out of Cookeville. I just think Murfreesboro has the better facilities and just logistically is just the best place to have it.
Is there a bad venue in Murfreesboro as far as the events you cover?
I don't like the fact that here's the one negative is that they put the Division II teams play all the way out in Wilson Central, which is a nice facility, but it's like a 40-minute drive from Murfreesboro. So if you're for us, what we're doing, if you're trying to go from covering, let's say, Bradley Central playing at Oakland High School and go watch Baylor play a game, you've got a good 45 to an hour drive, depending on traffic, just to get out there and try to cover that. So that's a drawback. But otherwise, there's really not a bad facility. I mean, the softball facility is spectacular. The track facility is top-notch. You know, all the baseball venues are nice once you get there. You know, soccer is a really good facility. There's, you know, in tennis, I can't really think off the top of my head of any of them that you think, ugh. You know, when you get there, they're all really nice.
All right, and Stephen, of course, it won't be long before you and I are up there co-hosting the Best of Preps banquet. Tell our listeners about that. Obviously, Admiral Schofield, the very first basketball guest we've ever had.
Yeah, excited to have Admiral Schofield in there. You know, the timing of it's really good. I know he's working out, getting ready for the draft. It's June 11th. You know, if you haven't already, if you've got a kid that's in your family or something that you want to support or just to be there to hear Admiral, you know, definitely you want to call Kate Brennan. Probably the best thing to do because she's wearing so many hats right now. It's just to email her at kbrennan, B-R-E-N-N-A-N, at timesfreepress.com. And she'll get back with you on tickets, you know, to reserve a table or you know, however many tickets that you want, because it's always a really needed event, a great way to kind of give exposure and you know, celebrate the accomplishments of our local kids every year. So it's definitely worth supporting.
Great. Stephen, thanks for all that you do. Safe travels up to Murfreesboro. And again, the Times Free Press has you covered with Stephen, Patrick McCoon, and Gene Henley. We will bring it to you wall-to-wall stuff. And, Stephen, we always appreciate you joining us here on Press Row.
Thanks, guys.
All righty. Stephen Hargis, 648-1051 is the number. We'll reintroduce the Papa John's poll question when Press Row resumes in a moment. You're listening to ESPN 105.1 The Zone.